Welcome to Children of the 80s.
I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Jim. We are back for another episode.
So you know what I was thinking? I was listening to another podcast today, and it's one that I listen to almost weekly, and they reintroduced themselves today. And I thought, you know what? We should do that.
What we just did. I said, I'm Jim, and you said you're Lindsay.
Yes, but we should take it the next step and explain who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Because we are middle-aged, we are broke, and we like to live in the past. Because the present and future is so depressing.
Oh, no. So, we are husband and wife.
Wait, we're married? When did we get married?
We've been married for, going on 13 years?
Yes.
We are both children of the 80s. You more so earlier in the decade and me later in the decade. But we spend a lot of time at home doing now what we do on our podcast. So one day you came to me and you were like, hey, you know, we could combine the two. My love for podcast and your love for all things 1980s. And, you know, give it a go. See what happens.
And that's what we did. And here we are.
Yes. We are in the Metro Atlanta area. We have one child. She's 10, going on 21. And this is what we do for fun.
Yes. And
we have a lot of fun doing it.
We do have a lot of fun doing it. I think partially because we like to reminisce about when we were kids, but two, also, as you have mentioned many times on the show, we actually kind of live this life, right? We talk about the 80s a lot. Radio, when it's on, is on 80s music. Yep. We have, right here in front of me, I have the 80s game, which we will play in a future episode. Our cat is named after an 80s icon, Gary Busey.
Yes. Yes, he is.
So we are like 80s to the max. I am having, what am I having delivered for my big birthday coming up?
Pac-Man.
A Pac-Man arcade machine, not like that cheap Pac-Man Atari 2600 piece of crap.
No, like the real deal Pac-Man.
Yes.
Speaking of birthdays, you do have a really big birthday coming up. You're going to be the big
6-0. I'm going to be 40.
Let's meet in the middle. Oh.
Yeah, it's that half century mark is coming at me like a train through a tunnel.
It's painful.
Just barreling down on me.
It's painful, isn't it?
It's going to smack me in the face.
So I read a tidbit this afternoon on social media, and you know the interwebs always correct.
It's everything that's posted online on the internet is absolutely 100% true.
There is no way that I can be wrong on this.
Nope.
So with that being said, I'm going to launch into it, put it out on the podcast, and see what happens.
Okay.
I read that one of our favorite TV shows is The Middle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The Glossner's house in the middle. The Glossner's were the like redneck neighbors that lived down the street that tormented the Hex.
Right.
The Hex.
Are the main characters.
Yeah,
the
that's
show.
Hard. The Hex. That's a weird last name. They're the main characters. So the Glossner's tormented the Hex. Their house is the house in what 1980s Christmas movie?
A Christmas Story.
No. Wah, wah.
Ernest Saves Christmas?
No.
Gremlins?
It's okay. It's one that we love and we always watch every year.
A Christmas Story.
No.
Okay.
The one that I always mispronounce.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Yes. Yes. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
The Glossner House is the Griswolds.
Yeah.
It's also the Griswolds' house. They recently tore it down. It's on a lot in where, Hollywood or wherever,
California. Oh, so it's not in Indiana?
No. Okay. Not in Indiana.
That's why I was guessing Christmas Story, because I feel like that took place in Indiana, although I'm not positive about that.
I'm going to take it a step further. The Griswolds' neighbors, is it Margot and Tom?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well, whatever their names were.
I think it is Margot. I don't know about Tom. I felt like it was something like Corbin or Bryce.
Did he look like a Bryce?
Maybe.
It's the house from Lethal Weapon.
Really?
Yes.
Speaking of Gary Busey, Lethal Weapon.
There you go. See, we brought it full circle, just like I had planned.
You know, Gary Arquette is starting to get on my nerves. Gary Busey Arquette starting to get on my nerves a little bit. So I feel like we should bring in another cat and name him Martin Riggs so he can just beat the crap out of him.
But don't you think that's sad that they tore those houses down?
Yes, I do. But I mean, what were they being used anymore?
I don't know, but they
would have been cool tourist attractions.
Yes, right? For sure. It was on a sound stage, so I guess they had to like make room for other things.
Right,
so.
Right. Kind of like Universal Studios, where they tore down Jaws and what was the other one? The earthquake one.
Tremors?
No, not Anyway, they tore down Jaws and something else for something new that probably isn't as cool.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so can you explain what our episode is about today? You know, people think I'm like...
It's not crazy. About giant worms coming out of the ground, I can tell you that much. Oh, boy. Yeah, so our episode today, to kind of kick
off... No reason to look at your notes, it's not there.
To kind of kick off Christmas... We've lost control in the studio, folks.
We have. Send help.
Kind of kick off, the Christmas season. Our episode is all about toys.
So I wanted to do an episode of 1980s toys that brought back memories. And so I kind of put this episode together.
You did.
And just like any time I put an episode together, it's a little bit all over the place because that's how my brain works.
Yes.
And
I feel like the notes you gave me here are a little bit lean. I may not have all of the full info that I usually have.
Do you see under one point, it just says, take it away, Jim. Going to be a great episode.
I didn't do any research, so we're in trouble.
Oh, no, we're just going to have fun and hopefully bring back some good memories for people.
Right. Right. If they're still listening.
If not.
We've gone off the rails.
I mean, listen, I don't think we've got many people listening to begin with, so that's okay. For our old faithfuls, thank you for giving us another try.
By the way, I had lunch with somebody today who used to be a listener and doesn't listen anymore, and I called them out.
So why don't they? Is it our old neighbor?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why.
She wouldn't say.
She would not say.
We should call her right now. And see.
Put her on the air and on the spot. Oh, that would be fun. Well, all right.
Okay. So let me just set a little bit of ground rules before we get started. We are not going to talk about the Cabbage Patch Kids. Because we've been there, done that.
A couple of times, I think.
Yeah, and I just don't feel like I have anything else to say about that. We're not going to get into Barbie, and we're also not going to touch on any video games.
Okay. Even though Atari 2600 and Nintendo were huge in
the 80s. Yes, and they were huge. And
we've got a future episode on Nintendo. We've talked about Atari a little bit, but we probably have a future episode just on the NES.
Yeah, I'm not denying that it was the video game was probably the biggest game of the decade, but right. I just not getting
but
then, into
but
it.
But we're not talking about that.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
My game, my rules.
There you go.
My podcast, my rules.
There you go.
So I thought we would get started with what I labeled as Old Faithfuls.
Okay.
So I want to talk about, for each of us, a couple of toys that, like, everybody loved.
Okay.
So, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I guess, let me see what you're for. Oh, I'm going first because my toy's cooler than yours.
Well, yeah.
So, this was mentioned on a previous episode, but we didn't really get a whole lot into it. And my first toys are He-Man action figures.
Did you watch the cartoon?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do too. Remember when they came out, it was just, you know, they just bombarded us, I feel like, with commercials.
They did.
Of He-Man. And so me and my brother Mike definitely wanted He-Man for Christmas, birthday, whatever, what, in like 1982, 83. And then my brother Matt was probably a little young. He may have wanted, he may have been into other things because he was 4 years younger than me, but yeah, we wanted He-Man so bad. They were, you know, obviously action figures. They were taller than previous action figures like G.I. Joe and Star yeah. Wars and that kind of stuff.
And they were muscular.
They were very muscular. They were on the juice for sure.
No doubt you about know, that.
Jose Canseco was their dealer. but yeah, they were fun. They were movable, so you could move their arms, you know, up and down their legs back and forth. With just these Arnold Schwarzenegger-type bodies.
So speaking of Arnie and He-Man, why did He-Man, like, basically go around fighting the bad guys in his briefs?
In his briefs? No, that was his costume. Like Superman with the tights and the cape. He-Man had, basically wrestling shorts and some kind of
armor.
Breastplate type thing.
Did he ever have clothes on?
No. Well, I mean, if I had that body, I would never have clothes on either.
I never thought about that as a kid. But no, today, me neither. I was just like, why was he always in his underwear?
You know why we didn't think about that as kids?
Why?
Because we watched wrestling as much as we
yes.
could.
Yes.
And so they were dressed like wrestlers?
Yeah. And he was. I mean, that's basically what he looked like. Right. He right. was the Ultimate Warrior.
Before the Ultimate Warrior?
Yes.
I love it. So He-Man, the cartoon, right, originally ran for 2 years, right?
Didn't it feel like a lot longer?
I kind of felt like He-Man, the cartoon, was on for all 14 years of the 1980s.
Yes, I felt like that.
So it ran just original episodes from 83 to 85, but I'm sure they reran episodes probably through 87.
Well, and I think episodes back in the 80s were longer. I mean, I'm sorry, seasons were longer back in the 80s.
Yes, that is true.
So I think
they probably had 45 episodes a season.
I think I read it was 65 per season.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah, that was good stuff. You know, you had He-Man and Man-at-Arms. On the other side, you had Skeletor, who was the bad guy. So you had a group of good guys. You had a group of bad guys. And I'm sure this won't surprise you at all. I eventually got tired of the good guys winning all the time, and I wanted to see the bad guys win sometimes.
Like when you were playing or when you were watching the cartoon?
When I was watching the cartoon. When I was watching the cartoon. You know, I'm just that type of person, right? Like, it's not realistic for the good guy to win all the time. I wanted Tom to catch Jerry. I wanted Tom to slap around Jerry. I definitely wanted Tweety Bird to get his comeuppance. I wanted Sylvester to slap him around, but Sylvester was a dope. So, yeah, I wanted to see Skeletor win every now and then. Not all the time, but every now and then. Just give me an element of surprise. That's all.
It got a little predictable.
It did. It was very predictable. You knew in the end, no matter how dire the situation, He-Man was going to win.
Did He-Man...
And Skeletor was going to get mad and say something like, drats.
Did He-Man have any cohorts?
Yes, he did.
I remember his tiger.
Yes, he had his tiger, Battle Cat.
And Battle Cat also, when he did his little chant, Battle Cat changed, didn't he?
Yes. So Battle Cat, when he put on his armor, he actually became Battle Cat, but he wasn't always Battle Cat. He was actually Cringer as just a regular,
I don't remember that.
As just a regular pet tiger, as opposed to the Battle Cat tiger. But he would put on his armor, and he'd carry He-Man into battle. Now, if you're a big, giant, muscular guy, and you've got a bunch of big, giant, muscular friends, do you really need a pet tiger to carry you into battle? You're telling me you can't walk? He didn't get that body by having somebody carry him around.
That's basically the time that, what, Putin was riding the bear around in Russia.
Yes. Yes, so He-Man characters. He-Man had his buddies. Of course, he had Clamp Champ. He wields a large handheld grabbing device as his primary weapon. He was the only black character to have an action figure in the vintage toy line.
Really?
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. Several black characters have been released since, but in the classic toy lines, he was the only one. Fisto was an extra strong warrior with a metal right hand. I had him for sure. He had a big, giant metal right hand. And in the original series, he was actually a caretaker of a forest and was hesitant to join into the conflict against Skeletor. Probably because Skeletor was scary.
He was scary. So I watched He-Man every afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
This was before I started school, right? So every afternoon, I know it came on and I watched it, or at least in my mind, I think it was every afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I was not allowed to have any of the action figures.
Why? Because they were boy action figures?
I don't know.
And you were a girl?
I mean, I was a tomboy, and I can see that maybe that kind of bothered my dad to some extent. But also, how funny would it have been to have seen a little girl walking around with basically, you know, an action figure in his little briefs playing with him.
That's funny. Yeah, I get that. So did you know He-Man was considered the most powerful man in the universe? I believe they may
I think that was the opening. The selling point.
But do you know what his real name was or his alter ego?
No.
Was? Prince Adam.
So Prince Adam?
Yeah, he was a prince.
Wow.
He's a strong upholder of moral justice and is regarded by the people of Eternia as their greatest hero. His closest ally, of course, was Man-at-Arms. You remember him?
Yes.
He had, you know, green leggings, apparently red underwear or tights or shorts or whatever you want to call it. And he had, like, this kind of plastic body armor over his chest and his arms and this funky-looking helmet.
I remember that.
He was packaged in the Mattel toy line as the heroic master of weapons, which is why he's called Man-at-Arms. So that was like his guy, right? Like that was his number one. That was his ride or die, along with Cringer.
So I have a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
He-Man eventually led to a spinoff.
Yes, She-Ra,
which I think was his sister.
Was she now?
I believe. So, why was it She-Ra? So, it was He-Man. Shouldn't it have been She-Woman? She-Wa? Or She-Woman?
I think He-Man is two syllables. She-Ra. You start getting into She-Woman. Now, that's a mouthful. Nobody
what about She-Fi?
She-Fi.
Female.
You know, I think you're putting a lot more thought into it than maybe the creators
did.
Okay,
I have one more thing.
Okay.
They did, I want to say, a movie at some point.
They did?
I believe they did. But they did a primetime Christmas special. He-Man and She-Ra, a Christmas special. What kind of Christmas special was that? Was Santa there?
I have no idea. I never saw that. I don't even know. I mean, maybe I heard of it.
Did Skeletor try to steal Christmas?
Like the Grinch.
Yes.
Skeletor was the blue Grinch.
Yep.
Instead of being green.
There you go.
He was the Brinch. Or the Blinch.
Oh, my goodness. I think I know why Chris stopped listening. Oh.
Fantastic. Yeah. We loved He-Man. And you know,
I did too.
And you know what I did when I got the character? So I probably had 8, 10, 12 characters. I turned them into wrestlers. Like they were suplexing each other.
They were body slamming for that. Each other.
They were perfect for absolutely. They were, you know, I'd get a Skeletor to pile drive He-Man since it never happened in the cartoon. So, yeah, I turned my He-Man into wrestlers. You know what I wish I had done with my He-Man?
Wait, I'm sorry. Wait, what? What are you calling them?
He-Man. Because it was He-Man, and there was a bunch of them, so it was He-Man.
I don't think so.
Yeah. What, was it He-Man's?
I don't know.
So you know what I did with my He-Man? Or I wish I would have done with my He-Man, I wish I would have kept them in their packages.
Oh, right? Not played with them?
Not played with them.
Just kept them in general.
Yeah, which would have been a very boring childhood, but a very rich adulthood.
So, did you get the cave?
The Castle Grayskull?
Yeah. Wasn't that a cave?
No, it's a castle.
It was made out of rock. It looked like a cave to me.
Is a castle made out of straw? Pretty sure I see stones in a castle.
So did
you? Like Castle Grayskull. Yes.
You did?
I think so.
I can't believe that your parents.
No, they probably did. No, they didn't. Yeah,
I was going to say, I don't know about that.
I did only in my dreams, as Debbie Gibson said. Yeah,
right. So my cousins had the castle. I remember the castle and a few of the characters, just a couple. But, yeah, I loved playing with it when I was over at their house.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Wasn't it always more fun to play with other people's toys, too?
Oh, yes.
What they had was infinitely better than what you had at home.
And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we get into this. But, yeah, it was almost like going into their bedroom was like going into, like, Santa's workshop to me.
Yes.
Like, it just felt like, oh.
I would agree.
So.
We've probably talked enough about He-Man. We may want to move on.
What else is there to say?
This isn't the He-Man episode. It's the toys episode.
Well, let me do one. Can I do one?
I would love it if you would go ahead and take the reins.
Care Bears.
I remember Care Bears.
You probably hated them, didn't you?
Certainly.
So this is interesting. Not every, but a lot of the toys that you're going to talk about that are, you know, conventionally considered boy toys.
Would you like to rephrase the question?
No, I'm just leaving it, Your Honor. I liked as a kid, and I played with as a kid, the toys that I'm going to talk about that are conventionally, like, considered to be girl toys, you're going to roll your eyes at.
Yes.
You need to get in touch with your feminine side.
No, I do not.
So, Care Bears. They originally started out as a line of greeting cards. They were characters on a line of greeting cards.
Now, that is interesting. I did not know
And it went from there. And it ended up, of course, you could find Care Bears on everything. I had plush Care Bears, bigger size, then they had the smaller size, and then they had the little hard plastic little sit-around little Care Bear figures.
I remember all of those.
There were originally 10.
10.
Go for it. I want you to name them.
Was there a Rainbow Bear?
No.
Was there a Cloud Bear?
So you're talking about the little emblem on their bellies.
Did they all have rainbows? Or did they all have clouds?
But just because there was a cloud or a rainbow, that wasn't necessarily their name.
I didn't say clown. I said cloud.
That's what I said. I just, with my stuffy nose, it doesn't sound like that.
Okay.
Bedtime Bear. Birthday Bear. Cheer Bear. Friend Bear. Funshine Bear. Good Luck Bear. Grumpy Bear. Love a Lot Bear, Tender Heart Bear, and Wish Bear.
So I am going to say that Emmy would be Tender Heart Bear, you would be Love a Lot Bear, and I'm Grumpy Bear.
Oh, that's easy. Yes, hands down.
But at times I'd like to be Bedtime Bear because I'm getting older.
Right? Yes. So I loved Care Bears. I'm going to talk a little bit more. There's a theme here to the toys that I talk about, and I'll talk about that later. They also did a cartoon.
I remember the cartoon.
That I also enjoyed watching. I loved my Care Bears, and I collected all that I could.
Did you really?
Yes. Yes.
The plastic kind or the plush kind? Or
yes.
All of them?
Yes.
Okay.
I was an only child.
I specifically remember the plastic kind.
Right? I wish I still had them. Man, we had some good yard sales in the 90s, selling off all my 80s toys.
Right.
Gee, I wish I could have those back.
Oh, tell me about it.
So, all that crap in the garage, I wish it was some 80s toys.
Okay, so, is that all you have for Care Bears?
That's it.
Okay. We talked a lot less about Care Bears than we did about He-Man. My next toy, you know what? I'll just play something for you to introduce my next toy.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. The Transformers, more than meets the eye. The Transformers, robots in disguise.
It's the Decepticon communicators. Get more Autobots.
The Transformers, more than meets the eye.
The Transformers from Hasbro.
There you go. What do you think about that? Transformers from Hasbro.
I love the Transformers. I had some
as a kid
growing up. Yes.
Okay, so here's the deal, and I may be one of those weird kids, but I wasn't really that into the Transformers.
Really?
And I know a lot of my boys, a lot of boys my age.
A lot of your boys?
Were. Yeah, a lot of my homeboys at 9 years old, they were. My brother Mike was, for sure. I think my brother Matt might have been, too. I wasn't really that into them.
Why?
But that, I don't know.
Was it too complicated for you?
Yes, yes. Trust me, everything was too complicated for me as a kid. No, it just really didn't interest me that much.
Wow.
I can say that that song on the commercial has lived rent-free in my head for the last 42 years.
The one we just listened to?
Yes, Transformers, Robots in Disguise.
So it's one of those songs.
Yes. So I love the commercial and the song better than the actual toys. And I know that's probably shocking to a lot of people. There's probably a lot of guys my age right now that are listening. They're going, what is wrong with you? But yeah, it just wasn't really my thing. Remember the cheap knockoff GoBots?
Yes.
Weren't as cool as Transformers.
No.
Transformers, the concept is actually really cool, right? They are vehicles that can transform into robots and fight, right? Really cool. But not really, wasn't my thing. But I do remember that they could... You know, change, like I said, they change into vehicles like cars, planes, miniature guns, animals, and even dinosaurs, you know, just by moving their parts around. And you know, I'm sure I played with some that my brother Mike had, but I don't remember ever asking for Transformers for Christmas or my birthday. But I also recognize the popularity of them and... I feel like they had a much, much longer shelf life than He-Man did.
They've had some lasting power.
Right. Well, obviously, they're still making movies about them, right?
Yeah.
Which, whatever. I don't care about that. But they lasted a long time. And they seem to be, you know, from 83, was it 82, 83 when they came out? On through the rest of the decade, right? Whereas He-Man kind of died out.
Yes, it did.
But Transformers kept going.
He-Man came and went. Transformers lasted. And there's a ride at Universal.
Yes.
It's
actually a really cool ride.
Transformers ride.
Even though I'm not into Transformers, it was actually a really cool ride.
I feel like as a kid, when Transformers first came out, I was like really into it. And, you know, yeah, get me one, maybe two. But then when they started growing the franchise, I was like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah, there can be.
It became too complicated, too much for me.
There can be too much of a good thing. Mm-hmm. There can be too much of a good thing. So yeah, I would say that He-Man was. No, I can't even think of a good comparison. But I was going to say He-Man was like the Beatles and Transformers was like the Rolling Stones. Right. Just lasted.
Oh, listen.
A lot longer.
Backtrack on that one. Oh, it lasted a lot longer.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because, you know, She-Ra was the Yoko Ono of He-Man. She came along.
She-Ra came in and broke up the He-Man.
Yes.
Now that's funny. Well, then it was a good comparison.
I guess it was. But yeah, I would say arguably Transformers is probably one of the most popular toys of all time. Do you think that's safe to say?
I think it probably is. I mean, at least for the 80s for sure. You know, I think you could probably go like Etch-a-Sketch or...
Well, yes.
Hula Hoop.
I guess you're right. Rubik's like Cube.
Something really old.
Okay, well, whatever.
Rubik's Cube, that was an 80s thing.
Okay, you ready? It's my turn again. And again, you're going to see a theme developing here. My next one, Pound Puppies.
Another commercial that lives rent-free in my head for the last 4 years.
Oh, I don't know the Pound Puppies commercial.
Well, let me play it for you.
Those lonely Pound Puppies really need to be rescued.
Pound Puppy, I'm so glad to find you. Put that lonely puppy down behind you.
You need a name. I'll call you Freckles.
Lots of Pound Puppies need your love.
Ask for me, Petey.
And when they're this lonely and this lovable, one more is always welcome.
Come share in all our cuddling, caring puppy love.
Pound Puppies. Each sold separately. From Tonka.
Great. Now it's going to live rent-free in my head.
Yes.
Their tagline was lovable, huggable.
That sounds like the tagline. That sounds like it should have been tagline for the Care Bears.
I mean, it sounds like your tagline on eHarmony when I met you. Again, something like tangible, soft that I loved on. And, you know, maybe I slept under my arm, you know, but, like, do you see the theme here that I've got going? Like,
well, you have bears and you have puppies.
So, I love Pound Puppies. When you got a Pound Puppy, it came in a little, like,
crate?
Cardboard doghouse with adoption papers.
Okay.
And you were adopting the Pound Puppy. I'm assuming you never had one.
I didn't have, a Pound Puppy, but one of my sisters did. I know we had Pound Puppy in the house, for sure. At least one Pound Puppy. He was like almost like a chocolate lab, but he had like the long furry ears that I remember like feeling on. And I felt like, were they plastic? No, I felt like this dog was plastic with long furry ears. Did we get a cheap knockoff?
You did. You got the...
Did my parents Bev Goldberg it and buy it from a trunk of a stranger?
We had a Pound Puppy in our garage. Did we sell it at the yard sale?
I have no idea.
Well, I had to go out there and look at some point. Okay, so listen to this. Sales in the 80s over a 5-year time span generated $300 million in 35 different countries.
$300 million. That was a lot in the
80s. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot now, but it was... A lot in the 80s.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember Pound Puppies. Pretty sure they were plastic.
No, they were stuffed animals, all of them. They had little leather collar.
What am I thinking?
There was no plastic. I mean, clearly your mom went and got one.
Maybe it wasn't a Pound Puppy then.
Lot.
What am I thinking? Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. All right. So, my next toy is, again, action figures that you can play with.
So, you kind of have a theme going here, too.
I guess a little bit, yeah. I'm going with the Star Wars action figures.
Wow.
This is where you put on your list, take it away,
Jim. Take it away, Jim. I'm just going to sit back and listen.
So Star Wars action figures were made by Kenner. And Kenner released more than 100 action figures between 1977 and 1985.
So they were go-to for action figures.
Absolutely. So obviously it started with the original Star Wars movie. And those are the first toys that I can remember having were the little, you know, I had a little Luke Skywalker and a Princess Leia and a C-3PO, and I think I might have had a Chewie. I know for sure I had a Darth Vader and a Han Solo and an Obi-Wan Kenobi, a Stormtrooper. I even had like a, so they were only like 4 inches, right? Maybe even less than that, but I want to say 4 inches, 3.5 to 4 inches. But so I had all of those, and Darth Vader had a red lightsaber. But I also had like a tall Darth Vader, like a super tall Darth Vader.
He stood alone on his own.
Yes. I wish I still had him.
I wish you had any of those.
That was awesome. Well, I'm pretty sure that there was, you know, between a move and between losing stuff and between dogs chewing up stuff. I know I still played with you know, I think poor Han Solo may have got chewed up a little bit and I played with him. I had a Jawa, I had Sand People, I had Hammerhead. I remember Hammerhead because he was just so funny looking. And then in 1980, The Empire Strikes Back came out. And so they released updated versions of like Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, because they had different outfits.
And you had to start over again.
Yes.
Collection.
And they had different Stormtroopers. Darth Vader remained the same, so there was no reason to get him again. But I remember getting another Luke Skywalker, another Princess Leia, another Han Solo, of course, the new Stormtrooper, you know, and as Yoda, of course. And so as a kid, you know, I didn't do with Star Wars like I did with He-Man, where I didn't turn them into wrestlers. Like, the first time I saw Star Wars, of course, I was like 3.5 or 4 years old, but I was just blown away. I thought that it was the greatest thing in the world. And if my parents could send me to live with Luke and Han and Leia, I would have packed my bag. I'd have thrown my little knapsack over my shoulder on a stick and took off. Because I just thought Star Wars as a four-year-old was the coolest, greatest thing. So, of course, when I got the figures, you know, even at 7, 8, 9 years old, I was playing Star Wars with them. I was using my imagination. The only time I've used my imagination in my life.
And they were, you respected the Force too much to have them wrestle each other.
Yes, I guess you could say that.
Yeah.
I guess you could say that. So I think I'm letting people in a little bit. I'm becoming a little bit vulnerable here, you know, admitting that I'm a Star Wars nerd. But, hey, you are what you are. So, you know, Kenner made them, right? But before that, and before the movie actually came out in 1976, George Lucas offered to have the Star Wars action figures licensed by the Mego Corporation, and because they were the leading company in action figures in the 1970s. They refused the offer, and so then he went with Kenner, and that was it. Right? Like, Mego, I don't think I've even heard of Mego anymore.
Yeah, never.
So, was it Mego or Mego? I don't know. But, like I said, Kenner made 100 unique toys, and a total of more than 300 million units were sold during their original run.
Oh, wow.
So they started producing new action figures in 1995. But prior to that, 300 million units, not dollars, units were sold. Do you think Mego is kicking themselves right now?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be like being offered 100,000 Apple stock.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Back in 1980.
And turning it down.
And turning it down. Yeah, you know, who's going to use... People in homes don't use computers.
So my Last one in my old faithful category are My Little Ponies.
I think I see your theme here. Bears, puppies, ponies. Oh my.
What is it? Bears beats Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
My Little Pony. That's where I learned to braid hair, was on a My Little Pony. That's really all you could do with a My Little Pony. So they were hard plastic, and they had the fake little, you know, blue, pink, whatever color hair. And each My Little Pony came with a little hairbrush, and you'd brush their little mane, and you could braid their little mane, and then that's it.
You girls had so much fun in the 80s. I mean, with that
was
toys.
About it. That was about it. So, but I had a couple. They only initially, of course, now when Emmy comes along, she was born in 2013. My Little Pony had made a comeback, and there are lots of characters. In the 80s, when they originally came out, there were just a couple. But I had those. And I played with them, and I brushed their little hair.
Was Rainbow Sparkle one of those characters in the 80s?
I don't know, but that's one of the ones that Emmy used to always talk about. Do you remember that?
I do.
She was all about Rainbow Sparkle. So 100, it's such a large number, I can't even say it. 150 million ponies were sold in the 1980s.
So less than half of Star Wars.
Well, yeah, I mean... Yeah, there's a big difference between My Little Pony and Star Wars. But that's a lot of ponies.
It is a lot of ponies.
I mean, they don't do anything, Jim. They stand around.
They stand around with hair.
Yeah, with their little mane, and you brush it.
Did they move? Like, did their legs or anything move?
No.
So they were just, like, stiff, like those old...
Hard plastic.
Rubber wrestlers.
Yes.
That I also had in the 80s.
Yeah, and you braided their mane. You like, I'm doing, people can't see this, but I'm doing the little.
You're doing your little hands.
Like I'm braiding. But anyway, so yeah, my three, Care Bears, Pound Puppies, My Little Pony.
Okay, those were three big girl toys.
So you've noticed the theme here that I had going on.
Animals.
Sit and play. And just be quiet. Isn't that what everybody always wanted the little girls to do in the 80s? Well, I got news for you. That's what I did until I got my first big wheel.
Big wheel.
And when I got my big wheel, that was my first taste of freedom, baby. And I hit that open road, and I never looked back.
No? You were like Dennis Hopper in Easy Rider?
Yes. Yes. But seriously, the big wheel is what, it was a big factor, obviously, in getting me outside, which I already played outside, but it got me outside. And then when you get outside, then you start using your imagination, and then you start getting creative, and then you start having the real fun, just something kids don't do these days. After my big wheels, do you know what I graduated to? Little wheels. Hot Wheels.
Oh, I was going to say, there was a big wheel that had little wheels?
I collected Hot Wheels. Did you collect those?
Absolutely. Hot Wheels were awesome.
Did you carry them around in a little briefcase like I did?
I probably didn't have the funds for a briefcase. I don't remember how I carried my Hot Wheels around, but I do have a Hot Wheels story.
Well, I pause. Because I got something else to add on the lines of how you transport your Hot Wheels.
Okay.
So, I wasn't all that because of my hard plastic briefcase. True Hot Wheel aficionados had a plastic wheel with dividers. And you put each car in its own little bay.
I was a true
You had that?
Aficionado then, because I did have that.
Mom and Dad wouldn't buy me one.
I would not have remembered that if you hadn't brought that up.
Yep.
But yes, I had that. I would carry that up to my friend Jeff's house. Remember the aforementioned Jeff who fooled me on the Alice Cooper song that he wrote? So my friend Jeff had a driveway that was kind of steep. It was a hill. it was a lot steeper as a kid than it is now. I've gone back and seen it, and I'm like, really? We thought that thing was steep? But what we used to do is we used to take our Hot Wheels, and we probably had 30 of them, right? 30 of them that really worked. And we would sit up at the top of that hill, and we wouldn't push them. We'd just let them go on the top of the hill. And whichever Hot Wheel made it the furthest, that was like the winner of the race.
Did they
and
ever
so we would
just
do that over and over and over again.
Tumble? Or the hill wasn't that steep?
I don't remember them tumbling, but they probably did at times, you know. But the ones with the smoother wheels and everything, you know, those were the ones that were going to make it the furthest. But yeah, I just remember having so much fun doing that. Between that and the little tiny miniature football helmets that you would pay, you know, a quarter at the local grocery store to get out and hope that you didn't get, you know, duplicates over and over and over again. Those two things were probably the two things that I had the most fun with as a kid.
Did you have the Dukes of Hazzard cars in Hot Wheels?
Yes.
Did you?
Absolutely.
I had General Lee, and I had Daisy's Jeep. And then they had
Roscoe's car.
What was that, a Cadillac or something?
That was Boss Hogg's Cadillac.
Yeah, his Cadillac.
And then Roscoe's patrol car.
But the Cadillac had the horns on the front.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes.
Yep. I had those.
Yes. Oh, I don't remember if we had Daisy's Jeep, but I remember the General Lee and Boss Hogg's Cadillac and Roscoe's patrol car.
I broke the horns off the Cadillac.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Because you hated Boss Hogg?
I don't know. Why do kids do things?
Well, I don't know. You know what we did? My next door neighbor, his dad was always working in his garage, and he had a vice grip. And so we'd stick our Hot Wheels between that.
Oh my gosh! And just crush them.
Crush them like the Griswold's car that they traded in for the truckster.
Oh my goodness, that was fun though, wasn't it?
As like a 6-year-old, that's like the coolest thing you've ever seen in your life.
But once it's crushed, it's gone.
Yeah, we didn't really think about that.
Okay, so now I want to talk about maybe some games or toys that we have forgotten about, or we haven't thought about in a long time.
Before you go there, well, I guess this could be in that category, but when you mentioned big wheels, that got me thinking about something too. And so let me play this.
Okay.
This is the Green Machine.
Green Machine. Woo!
9, 10 years old, old enough for Green Machine, a racer for guys who like a ride that's really fast. Six shift controls, swivel action rear wheels, twist, turn, and spin like wild.
Green Machine.
What a ride.
Yeah.
Green Machine with stick shift steering, some assembly required. Green Machine by Marx.
So
what in the world was this that I just listened to? I've never heard of a Green Machine.
The Green Machine was like the Harley Davidson compared to the big wheel, which was like a Datsun.
What? Was it like a souped up big wheel?
It was. It was a souped up big wheel, and you would pedal, you know, just like you would with a big wheel. But instead of steering with handlebars, you had these almost like gear shifts on the side.
Well, that's how the guy in the commercial makes it sound, like it's a gear shift.
Yeah, but it wasn't really a gear, right? You're not really shifting gears, but you're moving these things back and forth like a gear shift to be able to turn the Green Machine. But what was really cool was you could pull one back real hard, push one up real hard, and like spin out almost like do like a donut.
Oh.
And so I saw the Green Machine, and I'm like, that is the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life, and I want one, and of course, I never got one. But my next-door neighbor, who was, you know, the baby of the family, was a few years older than me, like, he basically had all the coolest stuff. He had a drum kit in his basement. He had a Green Machine. He had all the football helmets. So much fun to play with, man. He had that Green Machine. He was like, you know, I saw the commercial And I was like, man, I wish I had me a Green Machine. And he pulled it out of his garage and he'd be riding that thing around. It looked so much fun. And I wanted, the Green Machine was like having a Ferrari. And the regular red and yellow big wheel was like the 1981 Ford Fairmont that I drove to high school.
Did he ever let you drive the Green Machine?
He probably did. He probably did, but probably not for long.
Well, I have a question. Why was the commercial, it talks about, it's like geared towards guys, it says. 8, 9, 10-year-old guys.
Because Christy Lee Brinkley's the only one I've ever seen drive a Lamborghini.
Oh, I could drive the Green Machine. I could drive one then. I could drive one right now.
Didn't you total a big wheel as a kid? I'm not sure that you could handle the Green Machine.
No, I was not driving the big wheel when we had the accident.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I was a passenger.
All right. All right. Well, then I take back my you couldn't handle the Green Machine. But listen, I've been in the car with you. You're a fine driver, but you have a lead foot. A lead foot, whether it's the gas, a lead foot, whether it's the brake, it doesn't matter. You are hammering that thing down like that guy that we talked about with He-Man that had the big metal hand, you know, that could punch things through. That's how your foot is while driving. So I'm not sure you could handle the Green Machine.
Oh, I could have handled it. But, so we could argue about this all day, whether I could handle the Green Machine or not. But I just had a thought about, you know, the great big wheel accident of 83 was horrendous. And I got like seriously hurt. But the reason why I got hurt is I was standing up on the back of the big wheel. My cousin was driving it. So he's sitting, he's pedaling, he's steering. I'm standing up behind him, holding onto his shoulders. So when we wrecked, that's why I got hurt.
That's what you went flying.
Yeah. Did you guys ever do that? Did you try to like pile on a big wheel?
No.
No, I didn't go flying. He dragged me.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't let go.
Yeah, right. Probably your first mistake.
Yeah, right?
Your first mistake was standing up on the back
of the big wheel. If you have a crash, let go.
Your second mistake was not letting go.
I was committed. I was committed to that ride. But yeah, I just wondered, was that something that only we did, or did you guys ever do that?
No, we did not do
that. Did you ever do that with a bicycle?
Yes, we had the pegs on the bicycle.
Yeah.
We've got a horror story about my brother Matt on those, but that's for another episode.
I don't remember, I know about the pegs that you're talking about, but I just remember I would sit and my cousin would stand and pedal.
Yeah, I think we would probably do that too when it's we hard were real to do. Little. It is.
It's tough hard to do. Okay.
All right, so that was, you know, I not necessarily forgotten, but definitely jogged my memory when you mentioned Big Wheel.
I had never heard of the Green Machine.
Really?
I thought it was... How we were going to talk about, like...
The Mystery Machine?
Yeah, I really honestly didn't know, but... Okay, I got something for you.
Mom, here come the Popples for your child.
Popples are pals that pop out of pockets. Popples are pals that pop out of pockets. A soft, fuzzy ball that turns into a friend. The fun keeps building and the laughing never ends.
So I can tell by the look on your face, you have no idea what a Popple is.
I don't, but I do love the fact that you can tell that commercial is an 80s commercial.
The sound.
It just sounds like an 80s commercial. But I don't remember Popples, no.
So a Popple was, I don't know, it was some form of an animal. It was a marsupial of some sort.
A marsupial? Was it from Australia?
Well, let me tell you why I think it was a marsupial. So it had a long tail with a pom-pom on the end of its tail, but you could fold it into itself and it would fold into like a ball.
I don't remember this at all.
So that's why I called it a marsupial.
A pom-pom like a cheerleader would use?
Well, just a little furry pom-pom on its tail.
Was the Popple in the Tony Basil video, Mickey. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so
oh,
fine.
Oh, with the pom poms. Yeah. No, don't get hung up on the pom pom okay. statement. Yeah, it was a little furry.
I'm hung up on the pom poms.
Yeah, don't. Supposedly, the idea for a popple came from somebody rolling up their socks while they were doing their laundry.
Were popples successful? Did they?
I mean, obviously not too successful because you've never heard of them. But I think in the girl realm in the 80s, yeah, I think popples were kind of successful.
So let's back up a second because it's not that I've never heard of them. I may have heard of them. I've just, they're not in my memory at all.
It's not in your memory bank.
No, not at all. So it's possible that I've heard of them. And that my memory has just wiped it clean because I don't want to see a marsupial cheering with Tony Basil. Basil or Basil? So the idea came from rolling up. I wish I could come up with a genius idea for something so mundane like rolling up socks. Can I think of a multi-million dollar deal for watching you fold my t-shirts?
Oh, yeah, I wish, because then I could hire somebody to fold your t-shirts.
Yes. All right. So, not necessarily a forgotten toy again, but not something that I think about daily. But again, you jogged my memory when you went from the big wheels to the little wheels. So the Hot Wheels. You remember Crisscross Crash?
No.
Well, let's play the commercial.
This year's Hot Wheels Crisscross Crash Race Set. Driving skill is what you need to avoid a crash at this high speed on a figure eight track with a crisscross crash.
You blew it!
You can crank them on faster and watch them flash out of the curve. It's nearly a bash, but that's a chance you take. High speed, quick flash on Crisscross Crash.
Hot Wheels Crisscross Crash Race Set. Not for use with all Hot Wheels cars. You put it together. New from Mattel.
What did that song make you think of?
The Wheel of Cheese.
Really?
Yeah. What was it supposed to make me think of?
I was thinking like Dukes of Hazzard.
I'm hankering for a hunk of cheese. Maybe it's because it's past dinner time. I haven't had anything to eat.
So, Crisscross Crash was this thing where you could put your Hot Wheels in, and like they said, it wasn't made for every Hot Wheels, right? They probably had that special. But you would turn like this little wheel, and you would continue to turn it, and it was almost like a little tunnel where the cars would fly through, and it was this track that crossed each other. So the goal was to get them racing around, and then eventually they'd hit the cross.
Oh, that's cool.
Right at the same time, and they'd crash into each other. Well, you know, little boys, they love crash and
oh,
stuff.
Yeah.
I just said we like to put Hot Wheels in a vice grip and destroy it. So that was, I saw that commercial. I so wanted a Crisscross Crash. I wanted any of those tracks where you could put Hot Wheels or cars, remote control cars on or anything like that.
Well, so for Christmas one year, I got the track that you could build mm-hmm. and make it, you know, within a certain parameters, you know, any shape or size. And then you could, it had two lanes and you could put specialty cars that came with the track on it. And then you had like a little gun and you would hit the gun.
Yes.
And the cars would go and
yes.
they could race each other, but inevitably they always flew
they
off.
They flew off the yeah, they flew off the track yeah. every single time.
So that was a great toy and I loved it.
A great worthless toy?
Until 2, 3, 4, 5 days in, somebody came in my room and tripped over the track.
And broke it.
And I never got it replaced.
Yeah, that was life as an 80s kid, right? You'd have something, somebody break it, and it just...
That was it.
Yeah, that was it. Like, it was gone forever. It was, yeah. it was like, it may as well have spontaneously combusted and been consumed in a fire.
Did you have one of those that I was
yes,
just talking about?
Absolutely.
You know they had a smell.
Yes.
What was that smell?
The fire that was about to burn it down when somebody...
Probably.
Broke it and you never got to use it again?
Probably. Did that happen to you?
I mean, with so many toys. Not necessarily that toy, but just so many toys.
You know, I'm feeling a little like... I'm resentful right now of my race car, my racetrack getting tore up.
I know. Like, it kind of makes you mad. You're back.
I'm getting a little worked up.
You know why? Because you're a child of the 80s and you're back being a child right now talking about these toys. And when your toys got broke, you got mad.
Yeah.
Because you knew you weren't getting it again.
No, like, no, it was done.
You may as well not even ask. You're going to ask, but you're going to be told no.
Yeah, right.
I already got you that.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm not. But it broke. Well, tough titty.
I don't think we can say that on here. Whoa, folks. We said the T word. Woo.
Okay. My last one that I don't always think about, I didn't have a lot of it. It was a cartoon. I had it, but my brother Mike would be mad if I didn't mention it. So I'm just going to mention Mask.
Well, I have no idea what that is.
So they were action figures, just like...
But Mask, like Masks or Mask?
Mask. M-A-S-K.
Was it an acronym?
It was an acronym. So M period, A period, S period, K period, and it stands for Mobile Armored Strike Command, but command spelled with a K instead of a C. So it was a unique toy line pioneered by Kenner, again Kenner, in 1985, probably because they had the money from the Star Wars commercials.
Oh!
So they... you know, obviously there was a rising theme of action figures and transformation started by the Transformers
yeah.
and continued by the GoBots, and so Mask was kind of like that, too. The series pits the heroic Mask led by wealthy philanthropist Matt Tracker against the renegade Venom, also an acronym, vicious evil network of mayhem led by turncoat tyrant Miles Mayhem. So it was a two-season cartoon.
So it was a cartoon.
It was a cartoon.
Okay.
And then they had, you know, action figures. You know, I liked the cartoon. I got some of the action figures, but I wasn't nearly as into it as my brother was. He just absolutely loved it. I kind of wish we had him on here right now because he'd probably geek out on it and tell you about everything about
yeah.
it. You know who else would probably do that too, you know? Our friend Sean on Generation Rewind.
Yeah.
Their original, you know, you heard this when we interviewed with him. His original podcast was called Toys Were Us.
So you think he remembers Mask?
Yeah. Oh, I guarantee you he remembers Mask. So, you know, I bet if we could get Mike and Sean together, like, they could probably hold a 3-hour podcast just on Mask.
Just on Mask. And you and I could just step back and...
Yeah, I'd probably take a nap.
Enjoy the show.
I'd probably take a nap.
Oh. Well, I got a couple more things I want to talk about before we wrap it up.
Okay.
I'll try to move a little quicker. Speak and Spell.
You mentioned Speak and Spell, and that is definitely something that I forgot about, and I wouldn't have remembered, but as soon as you said it, I'm like, yes!
No, well, that was...
The Speak and Spell!
That was my first glimpse of a computer.
Yes!
Right?
Yes.
Made by Texas Instrument, who also made a calculator. Do you remember the calculator? It was called the Little Professor.
That's a vague memory in the back resources of my mind that's trying to come out, but it just won't.
Well, I had a Speak and Spell. I always wanted the calculator, and I never got one. I always thought there's a little face on the front of the calculator. Up until today, I thought it was an owl. It's an old man. I don't know why I thought it was an owl.
A little professor, I guess. Or are we talking about the Speak and Spell?
No, Little Professor.
Okay.
I thought the face was an owl. It's a man. Why did I think it was an owl?
I don't know. Little old men look like owls?
Basically, it was a math facts game.
Okay.
Because it would pop up 4 + 1.
And yes. I remember it now.
Five. Yeah.
Because I dominated that game.
Oh, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did. We needed one for Emmy. I think you could do addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, all of
mm-hmm,
those.
Mm-hmm.
One more thing that I wanted as a kid that mm-hmm. I never got that my cousins had, a Fisher-Price garage.
A Fisher-Price garage. Yeah, I don't remember having that either. We may have, but I don't remember having that. I think I would remember.
I don't know why that was such a big deal to me as a kid, But it was like, I don't know, a two-level garage, and it had a little circular ramp.
I had it. And now that you say that, I had it.
And at the base, at the exit, was a little gas tank, and you could fill your little car up with gas before you took off to wherever you were going.
With pretend gas. They didn't allow us real gas in the 80s. Although it wouldn't have been surprising had they, because not all the toys were the safest.
Right? You had that?
Yes.
You had all the good stuff.
I didn't have all the good stuff, but yeah, that we had that. You know, listen, five kids, you don't get a whole lot, but the good news is that like everybody kind of gets something different. And so you're bound to run into a bunch of different types of toys.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So one more thing. Oh, did you have something you wanted to say?
Well, something that I could never forget about because, again, the commercial. Like, how could you forget the song to this commercial?
My buddy, my buddy, my buddy.
Why are you bringing that up? Did you notice I, on purpose, did not mention Teddy Ruxpin? Creepy.
Because Teddy Ruxpin creeped you out?
Yes, my buddy, creepy. Teddy Ruxpin, creepy.
My buddy wasn't creepy
until
Chucky came out.
Well, either way, it's creepy.
But do you remember, because of my buddy, kid sister... It was the same tune. But
oh, yeah, I do remember
instead
that.
Instead of my buddy, it was kid, sister. Yeah.
I do remember.
Okay. So just wanted to mention that because, again, the My Buddy song or the kid sister song, they're the same tune. They've been stuck in my head since 1985.
So did you enjoy this episode? Did I pull it off?
You did. This was a fun episode. I enjoyed this episode so much that maybe... later on, I don't know if for Christmas season or maybe afterwards, maybe we'll do an episode on games. Because I thought...
Okay, I like that idea too.
I thought that you might have thrown in some games there.
And I didn't have time.
Right. So, but yeah, no, this was a fun episode. I always reminiscing about toys. And, you know, again, what's the name of our podcast?
Children of the 80s.
Right. And so what do children love more than anything, except for maybe their parents, and sometimes more than their parents?
Cereal.
And their toys. Cereal, toys, and cartoons.
So I think this is a good segue into the holiday season. And so the next couple of episodes, we'll focus on something Christmassy.
Oh, definitely. We have multiple Christmas episodes coming out.
Yep.
We have some good ideas for this one.
Yep.
You know, it's also the 40th anniversary, 40 years ago. A Christmas Story, which we mentioned earlier, 40 years ago came out. So.
Oh, I hadn't heard that. It's the 40th anniversary?
Yeah, 1983.
Okay, well, that might be something fun. We'll see, huh? Yeah,
absolutely.
So, if you like our podcast, it would mean so much to us if you'd leave us a review. I was reading something a couple of days ago about how if you like, subscribe, leave us a review, it helps the algorithm, helps us show up more. And so, we would be eternally grateful if you would do that.
Yeah, people will discover us if you leave us a good rating.
Please.
And a review. So we would appreciate, if you enjoy this podcast at all, if you enjoy listening to us at all, help other people find it. And hopefully they'll enjoy it as well.
I think that's it.
All right. Well.
Until next time.
I'm Jim.
I'm Lindsay.
And we are
Children of the 80s.